The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello, and welcome back to the Pretty Little Podcast. We're your hosts.
My name is Phoebe.
And I'm Caroline. And today we have a very special episode because not only are we wrapping up our summer book club with a discussion of Nowhere Like Home, we have the incredible author of not only Nowhere Like Home, but she's also the author of Pretty Little Liars. She's here with us. So without further ado, we'd like to welcome Sarah Shepherd to the Pretty Little Podcast. Thanks so much for coming.
Thank you. Oh my gosh.
Of course. I'm so happy to be here.
We're like nervous.
We are a little nervous.
We also never record in person. We're always on Zoom. Mm-hmm. She doesn't live here.
Yes.
So now it's like,
I know,
weird.
It's like, who are you?
And we've lost our groove.
This is the best podcast because I can just drive down the street.
I mean, it's literally. Yeah.
we were so happy when you said, you want to do it in person? We were like, oh.
We're like, oh, yep, let's do it.
That's awesome. I'll be there.
It's so funny. I know. What are the odds? So today we're gonna get into some of our burning questions about the characters in the book, especially, and about, is it Halcyon or Halcyon?
I thought of it as Halcyon.
Okay, Halcyon.
I was like, however you want to say it.
Well, then I have another question. Is it Lena
or Lena?
Lena.
I thought of it as right. Lena.
It's cool, Lena. Cool. Yes.
And Rhiannon.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. I love.
The names are awesome.
I know. There's how. Wait. So our mom. This is a question from our mom. She wants to know how you come up with these names.
I have no idea how I came up with Lena. No idea. Rhiannon. I like the song. Mm-hmm. And
yes.
I also knew somebody named Rhiannon in junior high, high school.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
I always thought it was a cool name.
Yeah.
So
totally.
Such a cool name.
Yeah. And I hadn't used it yet because, you know,
you probably run out so
many books. You start to run out of names and you're like, oh, I like this name of this character. And they're like, oh, wait, I already used that name. And that was like a distinct character. So I can't use that again. But Rhiannon, I knew, I was pretty sure somebody's probably going to be like, no, you used it in Pretty Little Liars, number 12.
Someone's going to fact check you.
Pretty sure I had not used it.
Yeah.
So
so you have a sister named Allison, right?
I do.
So how does she feel about Allison De Laurentiis?
Long ago when I wrote, when Pretty Little Liars was sort of coming into existence, I wrote like a proposal for what the idea was, mm-hmm. and it included 8 chapters of the first book. And I said to my sister before we submitted it to like publishers, I was like, you're okay with being really bad person, right? Like, you don't mind, and you don't mind that you die. And she didn't care.
Honestly, I was like, I would be so flattered, Phoebe, if you ever want to write a book, you have full clearance to use Caroline. As long as they're like iconic, mm-hmm. and mysterious.
And I would say Allison De Laurentiis was, I mean, she is.
She is literally like, when we talk about it girls and anyone talks about them in culture, it's like Allison De Laurentiis,
I know,
Blair Waldorf, and like, what's, and Regina George. It's like, right. Those are like,
totally.
It's crazy.
The age that Sasha Peterson was when she introduced Allison to the screen. And she came out like full force.
She's amazing.
She held her own. Yeah. And with everyone is such a strong actor. But we really, like, especially in
those
beginning episodes.
Acting with those older girls would be so
intimidating.
Yeah.
She was like 14, right?
Oh, my God.
I think she
might have been younger.
She was even younger
when she started.
Maybe for the pilot.
Yeah, I think the pilot. She was 12.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy to think about?
That is so crazy because quite a few of them were a bit older.
Yeah, I think Troyan was like 20.
She was in her mid-20s, I feel like.
The only thing that I remember is before the show came out, but after the pilot was filmed, we went to a dinner, and Sasha was maybe not even invited.
Oh, my God. Yeah, she probably didn't know.
Because she was like, but there was alcohol at this dinner. So it was the 4 main girls.
Yes.
And there was alcohol at this dinner, and 2 of them could not drink.
Oh, my God.
And 2 of them could. And I think it was Lucy and Troyan who could.
Oh, my God,
so the
yeah.
other 2 could not. And,
that
like, they snuck drinks anyway.
I was going to say.
Like, Sasha, like, could you imagine?
Oh, my gosh, no.
This little, like, 13-year-old.
Crazy. And so, I mean, what a dream. But she just... she, it could have gone so bad. Like, yeah, being she killed it. And she just killed it. Well, anyway, we'll get back to Pretty Little Liars. We're going to jump into Nowhere Like Home. So we both loved the book. And I, after I finished it, I was like, okay, now I need to go read it again because I want to like look for all these clues.
I was on my second read this past time because I read it like right when it a month after it came out maybe. And it, I was on a like a quick weekend trip to Atlanta and I like, my grandma and I were just sitting reading together. Yeah. I flew through it and then reading it again for this. It was just great. Yeah. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was awesome.
So I was an English major and I read like crazy in college. And when I got out of college, I was like, I'm never reading again. Like basically I was like, I need a break from reading. And then I really got into thrillers because I was like, I need something that like at a stoplight, I'm going to be itching to read like a couple sentences or I'm just not going to be reading. And so I got really into suspense and thrillers. And that's what this book did for me. Like I, every time a chapter ended, I was like, no, I need the backstory. Like I need to know what happened here. And I think that our book club readers really felt that way too. And it's so cute. We didn't know like how the book club would go. We've never done anything like this. And they loved doing it.
Yeah. Oh,
like,
fun.
Absolutely. Good. We have tons of people who joined in and were talking about it and messaging us. So
good.
Yeah, they're going to freak about this episode.
Yes.
But I wanted to also ask you, like, do you have any favorite characters when you're writing books? Any book?
Like for this particular book?
Well,
or
like, do you pick favorites, I guess? Like when you're writing a book, are you like, well, I really like this person. So,
so usually my favorite is the villain.
Fair enough. You're the most interesting.
My favorite is the person like pulling all the, like, well, in this case, I don't want to spoil anything, but it's like kind of two different people. But
yes,
I loved, well, and yeah, that's another, how do you pronounce her name? Jillian was how I pronounced her name. I just found her so interesting.
Oh, I found her fascinating.
Really, really, really fascinating.
Really. And I actually thought with a lot of the characters, like I know, you know, and you feel free to spoil because everyone's finished it. But so obviously, you know, we find out, yes, it's like we've got the Jillian and Coral thing happening, but it also felt throughout the book like Rhiannon was sort of a villain. Like
yeah,
everyone
totally.
Was kind of a villain
right.
in their own little way. It just might not have been quite as obvious as with Jillian. So I thought that was really interesting. So when you wrote the prologue, did you write it first or did you go back?
I don't remember. This book was, I feel like this was a pandemic book, which was, and I think it went through a lot of edits, and I think it started out, like Jillian was always, like the, some of the plot was a little different. I'm trying to remember when I wrote it. I may have written it first, probably just to get like the vibe.
To get things going.
Yeah, to get, because it, I often will do that. And even if I don't use the prologue, like I'll do something just to be like, this is, you
get something on the page.
Get something on the page, but also like, you know, get me in the mood.
Yeah. Right,
like,
yeah.
What is this place? Right. What am
totally.
I writing about? Yeah.
So do you think you knew who was writing it when you wrote it?
That I don't know. I think at first I thought it was like the collective writing it, you know, saying come.
Right.
You know, like the like mermaids or
something. Yes, like the sirens. Like, totally.
Calling, you know. But I think it was later then that I kind of realized, oh, this should be like from Coral's things, you know, like.
Yeah. Well, then we get that last line because a lot of the readers thought that it was Lena from the get-go. And I sort of was immediately thinking it was Rhiannon. Mm-hmm. And because I was just getting bad vibes.
Sure.
And then it was like, is it? And there became a point where I was like, I have no clue who wrote that.
Right.
And I really, it was just interesting because everyone was a little bit suspicious. Like I really could have believed any of them would have kind of gone either way.
Good. Right. That's the goal.
Yeah. I mean, seriously.
And that's, I feel like your specialty across all your work is like, it really is. You just have absolutely no clue until you get.
Yes. You have to be
along
for the ride.
And following along. That's why a second read is always so great.
Oh, good.
Because it like,
I love finding
pick up on different things.
Yes. Well, I was just, so I had a road trip yesterday and I was driving and I listened to the audiobook and I was like, we got to the part about Coral's hair and the, you know, thing over her hair, just little things like that I was like ears perked
right,
because
right,
I was like,
right.
I need to reread it because I want to see all these little details. So would you say when you start writing, you typically start with a character in mind or like a plot or a feeling?
I think it depends. Sometimes it's like a concept
okay.
of like, you know, I think I was like, this was a concept. This was kind of like, you know, what if you needed to get away with your child or like wanted to escape your life for a little while anyway, to go to a commune of mothers, which sounds wonderful because they'll help with your baby and whatever. And what if it like the absolute last person you wanted to ever see is there.
Yeah.
And that I think is like where I started.
Wow.
I mean, it is such an interesting, because we were
just
talking
like so
about
random.
But it is, but it's so like, it's also so hot. I feel like right now, like the whole commune, like it really gave cult vibes. Do you consider it a cult? Or
it was a little culty.
Yeah.
Were there any documentaries or anything that you watched that kind of inspired what it ended up looking like?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm trying to think of documentaries that I watched. I mean, I was also, I have this other book coming out that I wrote with somebody else, which was a lot about NXIVM and about
and NXIVM
it's not, and their compound was like different, I think, than this.
Mm-hmm.
I went on a lot of like, because these things exist. Right. These, like, intentional communities exist. So I watched a lot of, like, YouTube videos.
Yeah.
And I went on their websites. And
so interesting.
I was very close to asking if I could visit one.
Wow.
Or, like, I'd stay. And then I just was like, I don't know. Because the one that I... There was one in Arizona.
Yeah.
That I was like, maybe I should go.
Oh, my God.
And then I was like, ooh, I don't know.
You're like, what if I go? And it's like this. And they're like, sorry. Like, the land will tell you when you can leave.
Yeah. I was like, I don't think I can.
You never get out. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I didn't end up going, but that's the great thing about like online. You can be there.
Yeah. You can go
you
those
can immerse
places.
Yourself.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm like, so I'm trying to think if there was anything else that I
did. You watch the Mother God documentary?
What is it?
The Mother God documentary.
It's like Love Has Won is the name of it. It's on HBO Max.
And I have to tell you, like, I'm looking for this.
Oh, I have to watch it.
No, you do.
It's
because
crazy.
the way that Halcyon is described, I was like, I am picturing the Mother God house. And like they, you know, these people would bring their kids and they would go and that's how it was. But the whole, you know, we've got a huge garden and animal pins and the house is like sprawling. It's painted with a giant mural landscape and all the colors and, you know, just all like, especially the writing on the walls and the things like that and the mismatched rugs and everything. Like, it feels homey, but it also feels a little bit
there's
like
something off
chaotic.
Here.
And that was really how, I mean, in this whole actually like commune. Like,
I know, and the financials being managed by someone
else.
Oh,
yeah, and I did a lot of research
on that.
It's,
I mean, it's just...
It's scary to think that there are places like
that.
Yeah. No, and it blows my mind that, you know, you see these people on these documentaries too, who you're like, you seem so normal, but they're still in it. Like they're reporting and they're like,
that's
well,
what's cool about this documentary is there are people that, even though I think it's kind of been dissolved, they're still very much like followers of
every
it,
single
it's
day.
It's crazy. But they're interviewing them like for the documentary because they believe in it so much that they're like, I'll tell you anything you want to know.
Yeah.
And their thing was technology is huge there. They will go live all the time. So that's how they would like attract people.
Sure. That
so it's
sense.
Interesting, but you should definitely watch. I mean, it's
I just
crazy.
Find it interesting in general.
It's fascinating.
Yeah.
It really is.
I know, I'm trying to, there were a few communities that have a pretty good online presence, which I just kind of followed a lot.
Right.
And so yeah, and sort of tracked
how that many had people to be fascinating research.
Many, it was weird.
Yeah.
But then at some point I kind of let it go because I was like, okay, it needs to just be its own thing.
Right.
At this point, like, I can't make it too much like anything that I'm seeing.
Right. No, I mean, I thought it was really neat. And I thought one thing that was also neat about this is it felt a little bit more rooted in like real life because maybe the motherhood and they're still kind of going into town and having, you know, IVF and things like that. So it didn't feel so like far from reality. And, you know, you meet Rhiannon in a normal setting where it's like, if she went there,
it must,
and
it
if Lena's okay going there, then it must not be like so off the wall, you know?
Right.
So that was interesting. But okay, so we're gonna do some examining of the characters. We're gonna start with Lena.
Okay.
Phoebe has some questions.
All right. So mental health is a huge topic, like across the book, the way that we see Jillian's social media and everything like that. But with Lena, she seems to struggle with OCD a little bit in terms of how she searches for those omens and that confirmation in her world, looking for things to confirm her fears and anxieties.
And that like fear of consequence.
Yes, too.
I thought was really interesting. Are we correct to assume she has OCD? Did you?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's sort of like a self-soothing kind of,
a ritual is like a lot of it. And, you know, the main focus of OCD is that fear of consequence. So I thought it was really interesting as she's seeing all these signs and seeing all these omens, and she's able to kind of look past them. And some readers were like, Lena, like, wake up. They were a little frustrated. And so what do you think that was like more powerful than the fear? Was it Rhiannon's manipulation? Was it, like, I don't know, like, what made her look past those things?
I think Rhiannon was a big part of why she looked past. I think, and I was trying to put myself in her shoes of like that friend that you have that you, maybe even if they've done terrible things to you, you just like want to trust them and you want the idealized version of them to be the right version, you know, the real version. Yeah. I mean, I think she was a little bit of a victim to that.
I do too.
Yeah, I think that's a big reason why she.
It's like those people, because I had a friend like that. We're not friends anymore, but it's like they rewire your brain.
Yeah, they do.
And like, it's like you start to feel, you know, responsible for their well-being. And that was a big thing we saw with Sadie as well. Just feeling like she could take care of Jillian. And then it's really interesting that that's what drew her to Jillian. But for Lena, I feel like it was more of the like, being taken care of or having someone to follow, sort of.
Well, it's like a toxic relationship, too.
Totally. Yeah,
I mean, the excuses 100%. That you make.
Yes.
And the like, and the way that you stay, even though like all the red flags are there. But it's like you, so, and that's the thing that I feel like I'm always examining, even more than just like romantic relationships. I just love looking at friendships. I just find, I mean, Pretty Little Liars has so many different friendship things in it, but, friendships are very complicated.
Totally.
You know, like they're in ways like they're more complicated than romantic relationships.
I agree with you.
Because they often have like the same components of romantic, but they
different
have
obligations.
These different, right. And like sort of different rules and like different expectations. But like often the way they play out are very similar. And it's like the way friends can mess with your head. And we all have them.
Completely.
You know?
And it's also interesting, I feel like a lot of times, and we do see this with Rhiannon and in sort of, you know, her not wanting Lena to get close to Frederick. And I know that was the whole thing, but it's like, they also don't want you to be in a relationship, you know, because that takes them away. And oftentimes friendships last much longer than relationships too. So that makes it, I feel like, really hard to kind of, I mean, when I was in that friendship, I was like, I'm never getting out of this. Like, and I knew it was messed up and I was like, there's no way out. I can't imagine a world like I'm so in it.
Yeah.
And then one day, sort of how like I was so proud of Lena at the end. I was like, I didn't know she was going to do that. I thought they were going to end up
being
friends in the end and like work through it. And I just love that she was like, I can't.
There was an ending. There was an ending at first where they are friends.
Really?
And then I like thought about it. I was like, no, she can't be our friend anymore.
Right. It's like the first time Lena really like has her own
like
back.
That's the real growth.
Yes.
It's not that she admits these things to, you know, or whatever.
Right.
It's no, she can't be friends with this person.
No.
Anymore. Not at all.
Terrible. Yeah.
Totally.
Do you, with Lena, the way that she, we get her perspective for like the first half of the book and then we go kind of in and out after that. Is she, we got a lot of comments on our book club about how she's an unreliable narrator kind of. Do you think, was that a way to get us to kind of feel along with her and that we are more so in her shoes and not getting the whole story?
And like that paranoia.
Yeah.
Like I felt the whole time it was like, I wanted her to look over her shoulder and I was like, had the anxiety too, which it really worked. I didn't know if that was something that you.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that like what she doesn't sort of share everything right away. I feel like that happens in a lot of thrillers.
Yeah.
And I feel like that would have like, that just felt like Lena's character that she wouldn't share anything right away.
Totally.
Yeah. Like that's just part of her.
Right.
She's very closed off.
Yeah.
So if she is the narrator of the story, like she's not going to blurt out her life story.
Right.
You know, it's going to take a long time.
Totally.
And
I wonder too if mental health and her struggles with it play into her being unreliable. Because it's like,
yeah,
you know, this idea, I always say this, like, because my therapist told me anxiety is selfish. And I was like, she was like, not in a bad way, but just you're constantly thinking, like, what are they thinking about mm-hmm. me and whatever. Sure. And like the reality is they're people not, just aren't thinking about me that much.
Right.
So it can be kind of freeing, but it also distorts your reality. So right. it's like if we're right. hearing about it from Lena's mm-hmm. perspective and that's something that she's doing.
Right.
Not to mention being drugged and right. like mm-hmm. all right. these things. She's just, we're not getting the whole
and
picture.
How many of right. like what of Rhiannon's behaviors and Jillian's behaviors, what can we really
yeah,
what's really happening?
What's true. Trying what's to just yeah. kind of like yeah. going home and
right,
in
exactly.
the shower and going through yeah. all of it in her mind.
Right,
and,
right.
And what's really going on. So it's
yeah, and she's it's all how she's interpreting.
Yes,
stuff.
Totally. Yeah. It's just yeah. it's interesting. She's an interesting narrator for that reason. If you had a friend like Lena, what advice would you give her? If let's say you're just looking at her life, she's got Rhiannon, Jillian, Sadie. You know she's been to Halcyon. She might go back.
Oh, so
know.
This is post Halcyon.
Well, let's just say like
what
in
part,
her,
what point of yeah, Lena's no, it's life actually, are that's we are really we giving her advice? Because like if we're giving her advice right when she moves to LA, like just don't be friends with Rhiannon.
Yeah.
Just like don't be friends with her. Although she would have made that mistake with somebody else.
Totally.
Just like trust yourself more.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and then she gets into this relationship that's like a pretty good relationship. Yeah. And I wish she would have sort of relied on that a little
yes.
bit more instead of,
yeah.
you know, but she just was so, yeah, I mean, that paranoia mm-hmm. and that kind of anxiety has just taken over. But it's hard to tell somebody who has anxiety, like, just stop
oh,
having
right,
anxiety.
Exactly.
Like, you can't do that.
You can't, no. It's impossible.
Yeah. But it is very much like the... They're not actually all thinking terrible things about you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like
yes.
you think they are.
Yeah.
You know, even when she gets to Halcyon and she's like, oh my God, they're probably judging me because I
right.
like don't use cloth diapers
yeah, yeah.
or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like.
I know. It's that constant like, oh God, oh God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What are they thinking about me? Okay.
Yeah.
If I go outside now, who am I going to see? Or are they going to hate me? Like it's just the constant.
And really she's right on the edge. Like. Jillian and her, the things she struggles with is not, it's not that different.
No,
than
right.
Lena's,
no,
like they're very yeah. much like very similar.
Yes. And
she's just out there with it.
Oh my God.
That's for
yes,
sure.
She sure is. Well, yeah. So we're going to dive into.
Yeah, we kind of wanted to talk about Jillian and Rhiannon's relationship. I know that we don't really obviously get much in the book
yeah.
on necessarily what happened. It's something that Caroline and I kind of talked about. We're like, if we were Lena and Jillian had kind of started to move
you
in on that
hi.
Friendship.
Like literally just
even
say
just
hello.
Say hi.
Yeah.
Can
Rhiannon
I eat lunch
immediately,
with you?
Yeah.
Rhiannon's like, you can't be friends. Like she
Rhiannon's
completely shuts
Ali
it off.
D, she says.
Totally.
Loser yes. Mona vibes.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
No.
And
yeah.
if you're Lena, like if I'm Lena, I'm going to be like, well, can you elaborate?
Like, right.
Like what happened there that you are like, you have to stay away from her.
Right.
And I was wondering if that was something that you had kind of thought about.
Oh, that's interesting. Like if they, I always thought of it as more on the surface of like loser vibes.
Yes. Mm. Yeah.
She just was like, no, she's so weird.
Yeah. She's just uninterested like,
no,
in that. No new friends.
No. Like we can't do that.
Yeah.
And she was right.
Oh,
I mean,
totally
she was
right.
faking a job. She yeah. didn't actually work there. But that's actually interesting to think of like a behind, like more between
right.
them.
Cause it's
even though,
and you know what, it's honestly a good argument for that same thing we're talking about with anxiety being selfish. Cause mm-hmm. it's like Jillian took this one interaction and turned
yeah,
it into something
it.
So
right,
big
yeah.
that her
so much so that
long lost daughter tried to kill everyone. So like,
yeah.
It's really, it's interesting how much she was able to just turn that into
right.
something so much bigger, and it was just something so small. And also, I'm sure Rhiannon was probably like, "If you get I got Jillian right under my wing. She's mm-hmm. doing whatever I want. We're good. We don't really need a third."
Which is like, I mean, it is small, but it's so terrible. Like it's so like, especially for adults.
Yeah,
like, really,
it really is. I know it really is.
It's. I mean, I feel like it's especially. I've never the LA community. I'm sure does that all the time. But even in a place like like hear them. It's like,
oh yeah,
I feel like there's definitely, I remember going to pick up kids I was babysitting at an elementary school, and the moms, there are those cliques, and it's like, you know, there's this group of moms that doesn't really interact with this group of moms. And it's, we don't, I feel like because we think that adults should be past those interactions, we don't see them examined like this too much. But
yeah, it's true.
Seeing it was, it is just like, if you ignore it, it will go away. Like that's what Ali says.
Exactly what Ali says.
Yeah. I mean, I think, because I'm even thinking of my own experience, like there are definitely parents at my kid's school, and there's one particular mom and I'm like, I don't think she likes me. And I could be totally wrong, but there's been a couple of instances where I'm like, huh. But if I were somebody like Jillian, like I could see that. And, and especially if something was said.
Right. Yeah. Like, totally. No, you can't. Like, a rejection.
What? You know, that kind of shattering my whole, you know, she was already on the edge anyway. Yes. And with everything going on with Sarah Sadie.
Yeah.
And that relationship falling apart. It was just like, that was crazy. Oh my God, I can't, like, this is the last straw.
I mean, totally. Yeah. I totally see that as well.
Well, I was just wondering, is it frustrating at all when readers read like your non Pretty Little Liar books and draw parallels? like we just
like exactly
did.
Like we're doing right now.
Like, I think it's no.
Okay. I was curious. Like, I just always wonder that with authors who write a bunch of different books. It's like, do you ever just want one book to like just not have to be like Allison De Laurentiis is in this book?
Right.
No, I'm fine with it.
All right.
I mean, when you write such incredible characters, it's like,
that's true.
They're also so real. Like, I know these characters, when you put them all in the same place, it seems so larger than life, but all of these people exist. Like, these are not, there are people that make these insane decisions, like, and do these crazy things. They just might not all be condensed into like one building. Right. So when you see them like
one
that,
school.
It feels, but like when it's, you know, in real life, it's like, we probably all know an Allie and a Mona and like all these people. So it's,
that's a really good point. Like for most books you can think of, you're like every character.
Yes.
Like, how could they all be in one place?
And like, it's like, but they're all.
Yeah. You take them individually and you're like, wait, you really do know something like that.
It's not that off the wall. Like these are people. Yeah. So we're going to jump into Jillian a little bit. And I want to talk about the use of social media and sort of the way she's presenting like her public self versus her private self and the differences there. And it's almost like she's got her public self offline, her public self on her account, and then who she actually is. So she's kind of like, she's like an onion.
Yeah, she is. She is.
Ogres are like onions.
Ogres
are
like
it's
onions.
That kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I thought it was interesting that her account was private, and we didn't know if you ever played around with like making it public, or if you thought like what if there was a decision about making that. I mean, obviously she's talking about people in her life, but she's got so many followers.
I could see an influencer having millions of followers and still doing what Jillian's doing, using initials.
I think
like
they do.
That.
I think so. I think there was a plot reason why I couldn't.
Oh, they can't see it. They couldn't know what was happening.
Yeah, why I couldn't have and why.
Because Jillian tells Lena about it.
Right.
And
I was like, oh, Jillian, you better not be telling everyone about this little account where you're going home and writing about them. And then, know, they can't see. But
and like, I think that's why Jillian made it private too, because she was going and writing.
Totally.
Like, you know, otherwise, like, everyone could be like, oh my God, you're totally talking about me.
Oh, I would try so hard to get in there. Like, if I was Lena,
Caroline would have made like 55 accounts.
I would have tried to see what was on there so bad.
Yeah, why didn't Lena just make like a bot?
I know. Yeah, literally. Yeah. Everyone else in the world does it.
Yeah, totally. Totally. I guess that didn't occur to her.
No, but it's, well, Lena's too, she's really honestly just like, I feel like believes the best.
Yeah.
I could also see her being like, well, if I made a bot account and tried to, you know, get in the trace, she'll know it's me. She'll be able to tell it's me and feel like so paranoid about it.
That's so true. It would eat her up. She'd probably end up telling, like she tells on herself. When she goes to Halcyon, I'm like, girl, you know, if you just didn't go, you'd probably never see Rhiannon again. She would never have to know that you sent that little email.
Right.
And you could run from it. But I guess it's still like, even after
it's weighing on her a little bit,
all that time, it's like the draw of Rhiannon. It's like,
well, I think she wanted Rhiannon to explain too. Like,
well, yeah,
you left.
True. She like, wanted answers.
Yeah. She felt like chosen again.
Yeah.
You know, and that felt, you know,
Yeah.
It's those friends that just.
It's interesting when she does have Daniel at home. Yeah. And Caroline and I were talking about Daniel and how, for someone who is so clued into like omens and signs and things, the way that they kind of meet.
Oh, like, I know. She's like,
yeah. You'd think that would be like, she'd be like, oh, this is my this way is out my of everything.
Yes.
Like,
yes. I'm. No.
Life is perfect now.
Yeah.
And she's still. And Rhiannon is a big part of that. Like, just that, like.
Well, just siren in the back little of her head. Seeds of doubt too, yeah. Like, yeah. You know, and similar to how you said, just friendships versus relationships. It's like, sometimes I feel like in Lena's world, she feels like she only have one sometimes because right. she's only ever had one. So it's
right,
like,
right.
if she's prioritizing, they can't exist together. And that ends up being true, you know,
yeah.
like the,
yeah.
the two can't really totally. Coexist.
Right.
The way that she's kind of going through her public and private kind of reminds me of like the town we live in and sort of all, you know, mm-hmm. just all the kind of secrets and Finstas. Also just internet in general, just influencers. I don't know if you did any like looking into like you researched communes and things like that. Did you have to do any social media digging or was that easy? I mean, it's such a big part of our lives now.
It is such a big part of our lives. And I just, I mostly just looked around at like, the influencers who are very big on kind of mental health and yeah. who are trying to be authentic about their yes. own like mental health struggles. Right. And I was like, social anxiety. I probably looked at, yes, there are definitely, now that I think about it, there's a whole corner of like introvert,
right.
you know, Instagram or TikTok or whatever, where they like, I'm an introvert. Let's right. show you my day.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, social anxiety. Like yeah. everybody, you know, now right. you can kind of say you have it and it can be your platform.
Right.
And
I mean, yeah. so
I could
true.
See people like, I could see people really identifying with that yeah. and being like, yeah, yes. I also feel like this and I got you, girl. And you know, totally. Whatever. And she just kind of took it to this, like, I do no wrong
yes.
because I have this condition
right.
where I like, don't know how to.
Right.
Yeah, it's like a so clutch like, kind of. For
yeah. So that's like, and I thought that would always be a good book club question of like,
yeah,
you know, is she really like it is hard for people that right. have social anxiety. They don't know how to, they don't know what to say. They yes. don't know, you know, how to handle themselves in certain mm-hmm. situations. They don't know how to navigate friendships. Like, yeah. does that give her a pass?
Well, yeah.
That's a good point.
I think that's, we kind of explored that too, because, and also this idea of like, there was a moment where I was like, do I even believe she has social anxiety?
Right.
Like, is this what she's using?
Once it becomes your platform, it's like, there's a bit of authenticity that I feel like goes away.
She could kind of weasel her way in, but I don't see her as this like weak
person. Well, no, not
at all. No. It was also interesting. There were a few times during the book where I was like, okay, if Jillian is as anxious in social situations and wants to be friends with Lena so badly, the way that Lena, you know, is talking about Rhiannon and Jillian is just trashing her like right away. I was like, whoa, I would probably wait I'd ease into that one.
Or even like the social anxiety of like going up to someone or like seeing Rhiannon
builds up
and
the
her.
Courage, but it's like you're also walking into a building where you don't have a home.
Yep.
Like that would scare the shit out of me.
Totally.
Like, you know,
like,
so I'm, it's like, is she using it a little bit? And
that was, I kind of thought she was.
Yeah, totally. Well, also just the way that she kind of reworks what actually happened a little bit.
And that was fun to read along with, like, to see the interaction happen and then to see how Jillian would talk about it.
Right. And especially once we got, like, Sadie's perspective and we got, like,
all the different.
We're seeing it from all angles. It's like, oh my God, you're in danger, Lena. You better run
you better get
for
out.
Your life.
Those sections, those social media mm-hmm. posts, I think they came last.
Oh,
I think
really?
I wrote them last of like, now I get to.
Yeah.
And that was really fun. I don't think they were in like the first few drafts.
Ugh.
And then I was like, wait, I need to, like, this is a whole other thing.
Yes,
I loved it. Yeah, they were really fun. They were like my
really
favorite
cool.
parts.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
It was really.
I liked
really
all the usernames.
All the comments.
Yes. Well, I was like, who's Lonely Girl?
Yeah,
who is
all
this?
All the comments.
Yeah.
And I do remember though, there was some kind of like, it went back and forth with copy editing because like this book was complicated because like Pretty Little Liars is pretty simple. It's like mm-hmm. over a week. It's like this one is like 8,000 different timelines.
Yeah, true.
And I remember like shortly before it was even going to publish, the proofreading came back again. They were like, you're still wrong on your timeline and your dates. And
oh, I'm like, my God.
I'm like, I'm so sorry. I'm lost at this point. I don't even know when things are happening.
You're like, it's my book, so actually I'm right.
And they like gave me a calendar of like, this happened then, but then theoretically this couldn't happen then. I'm like, I don't know.
That needed to happen with the show Pretty Little Liars. Yes. Because we crack up about it. We're always like, okay, time isn't real. What's the space time continuum here?
Universe.
Because it's so funny. It'll be like, before school, the girls have fully like had three sports practices. They've gone to the brew. They like told off their parents, changed their outfit, and went to school. Like, we're like, and it's bright. It's bright out. There's dew on the grass. It's like crazy.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny.
But we love it. It's always just such a funny little thing. Okay. Do you think Jillian screwed with the IVF for sure?
Oh, that's an interesting question.
Because you don't like.
Who knows?
I mean, when I read that, my jaw dropped. I was like.
I could see her doing it. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that whole interaction on like right before Jillian gets pushed off the canyon or falls or whatever was.
Which like I'd push her off a canyon.
I was like, why are you even walking over here? If I were Jillian, I'd be plastic bubble.
Right, people have it out for me.
Oh my God. That was like the craziest.
Well, I was. And it's interesting too, because I feel like you using motherhood here, and it's interesting because I got married a couple years ago, and I'm 29, and people are asking, you know, I don't know if I'll have kids, whatever, but it's interesting, the biological clock, the way that I heard people talk about it, but it is crazy how like I can feel that I like this like yearning for that like connection, that whatever, that I've never felt before. And it's such a powerful emotion that I feel like having that as this focal point in this is gonna make these characters do crazier things, and then add in like hormones of IVF. It's like, can we rely on Sadie totally? Because I'm like, why didn't you just kick her right on out? I would have been like, I know she's rewired her brain too. She and Rhiannon could both kind of do
I also that think that the, with the motherhood thing, seeing how Rhiannon shifted, like I feel like we don't get a ton on that, what that shift was, but how when she was friends with Lena before she goes to Halcyon, she's not interested
at all.
And then Lena shows up, and now there's this kid, Teddy, in the back. And we don't, it's interesting how like someone can, when they're younger, they can feel so certain.
Absolutely.
But then when it happens, it's
but
like.
But I think too, it was driven by like, she's like, my mom shouldn't be having a kid. My mother is a bad mother.
I need to.
So I feel like there was sort of that, and almost like immediately this kinship of, she killed off her brother. So this is, you know, a sibling and whatever. And it's this kind of like, I can't let this happen to you. And it's honestly, I know she stole the baby. I do think it was probably the right thing to do.
Oh, yeah. I think so, too. It redeems her.
Yes. Yeah. And like, thank God she does it, because there's something that I'm like, okay, we are like, you know, we've got a moral compass for sure. It's just a little skewed. Okay. So Halcyon, if you got there, you're Lena. Are you staying? Are you walking right back out?
Oh, no, I would leave.
I feel like the car pulling up. The whole situation
of getting there. The barbed wire on the fence. I'd be like,
No. Oh, my God. I mean, the fact that the cab driver had to let her off.
Oh, my God.
And by the way, like, this was so I lived in Tucson for a while.
Really?
I did. And my husband and I kind of lived out in the middle of nowhere. Like, there were mountains nearby. Mm-hmm. But for some reason in Tucson, maybe all of Arizona, there were all these stray dogs. And we would, like, adopt them. We would take them in. And we would take them to this. Sometimes we would take them to the SPCA, but sometimes we would take them to this like dog lady who lived where I imagine Halcyon was.
Yes.
Like, you turn, you go out towards the observatory on this road where at first there's like a Home Depot, and then it's the casino, and then there's like a gas station, and then there's nothing.
And then there's nothing.
And you're like, oh my God. And you literally would turn into the desert.
Oh my God.
And there were these scary like compounds of like junk, but like people lived there. And you're like, oh my God.
What is
there were the scariest like things that lived in the desert.
Oh, like the animals.
You know, like we saw like Gila monsters and, you know, so, and she lived on this beautiful property. I mean, the views were amazing, but I was like,
I know, it's just so far.
It's so remote. She's like, oh yes, it takes me 2 hours to go to the grocery store. I'm like, oh my, to get to the grocery store.
No.
And she's like, yeah, I shop for a month. And I'm like,
Oh my God.
Why? Why would you want to?
And she what had if like you forget 60, something?
She had like 60 dogs.
Wow.
So she was on her own little compound. It was just with dogs. So that's kind of what I imagined.
Wow.
And, you know, even going out there, I was like, I would never,
never,
ever, ever live here. But I guess if you want to escape somewhere, it was
I know.
I was always like, what are you running from? Like,
right.
What's going on with you?
Yes.
You live around no one.
It is. Yeah. Because it's like, it is interesting because humans crave, you know, community a little bit. And
she got the dogs.
Her dogs. I think she was married. I think her husband lived there too. So it was the two of them. And then whoever came out to like adopt her dog. Yeah. She did talk to, I mean, she was a normal functioning person. Yeah. It seemed like.
It's so interesting.
But anyway, that's where I imagined it was with this just like beating down desert heat and just, you know, dryness and like creepy creatures crawling everywhere and like, no, I wouldn't.
The shake out your shoes. That would have been it for me.
I just wouldn't stay. Even if even if somebody took my screaming baby and was like, I will calm him down. And
right,
like,
right.
I will save you. Like,
yeah. Mm. You'd be like, I'm actually going to go home and just have a really good talk with my husband and be like, lock in, take care of the baby.
care of the baby and like, get, you know, kind of get it together.
Lana, or something.
Yeah,
like,
right,
just,
right.
You know,
that's funny.
Go somewhere like that. Yeah. I don't know.
Just relax for a few days.
Yes.
And he can handle it.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah,
He'll
figure it out.
It's so funny. It's gone. I lost it. But I was thinking of, I don't know, Phoebe, go ahead with another question. Hormone harmony. You guys know here at the Pretty Little Podcast, we are no stranger to a little bit of PMS, a little bit of a bad mood every now and then, my own mood swing. I know it sounds crazy, but it happens to even us. And sometimes one of us or both of us, but usually one of us might stay up all night long. We're just a little bit of sleeplessness, some bad sleep quality, just not feeling super great in my body. And it's a lot easier to manage this and manage PMS and everything that comes with it, thanks to Hormone Harmony.
Happy Mammoth is the company that created Hormone Harmony, and it is dedicated to making women's lives easier, which is what we're all about here. Always looking for little secret tips and tricks. Hormone Harmony has zero sugar and is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. The biggest benefit, though, is that I'm just starting to feel like myself again. That's what women have mentioned over and over again in their reviews. And clock this, there are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony.
And we are even one of them. Two of them even. So Road Warriors, for a limited time, you can get 15% off on your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code Pretty Little Podcast at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code Pretty Little Podcast for 15% off today.
Well, I think we can get into some fan questions now about Nowhere Like Home. One of the questions we got was, under normal circumstances, if Lena wasn't under the spell of Rhiannon or dealing with anything with Jillian and all this stuff, would Halcyon have worked for her?
Do you think she would have been interested in that?
No. No, I don't think so. I mean, right, if Rhiannon hadn't existed, if Lena had still like gotten that job and like worked her way up and probably still a little bit lonely, would she even have met her husband? I don't know.
That's hard to know.
But like, she, like Jillian, was always a little awkward.
Right.
Would she have met another Rhiannon? It's
right,
hard to know.
Right.
Would her path always, but had that not gone as badly, there is something, I could still see her with a inconsolable baby being like, I need some kind of escape just for a little while. Like, I need a community of mothers. Cause she lost her mom. She doesn't have her mom.
Right.
So, I could still see her craving that. But I don't know if she'd go to such lengths.
Right. Right. No.
Fly to Arizona.
I was like, the next day. I thought it was crazy when Rhiannon's like, hey, you should come. And then the next day, Rhiannon's like, okay. Rhiannon buys a flight immediately. And then the next day, Rhiannon's like, so did you find a flight? And I'm like, oh, well, I hope Rhiannon, because she's here. Elena's not only found a flight, she already
she's
took
here.
It. Yeah, it's so funny. But it is that like, that draw of just
and
that
also
person.
Like when you have those falling outs with people, that mystery of like there's always going to be that part of you that's like, I just wish I could get answers to these
totally.
questions.
Yes. I have a friend like that. Yeah, yeah.
But you don't get closure. Mm-hmm. And it like does, I mean, and it's a lot to hold on to, you yeah. know, if it, especially for someone like Lena, where like I feel like she has a pillar in her life and that's usually a person, and that yeah. was Rhiannon. So it, you know, and when it stopped being her mother, she needed someone else. And I want to talk about her mother actually quickly. We're kind of going back, but I thought it was so interesting. So they're looking at like ads in the paper, or what were they looking at in the paper? And they were like, our day's vibe will be set by this.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah,
you
yeah,
know
yeah,
what I mean?
Was it the horoscope? I can't remember.
I think it was. I think it was like,
it was, might have been like it was something, the news, just like the daily like news. Daily if the news like, was good oh, okay. or if the news was
yeah.
bad.
Yeah, and I thought that was so, I was like, oh, that seems like it could get dicey really quick. Like,
right,
especially
right.
2024, jeez. I would not, yeah.
Yeah.
But it was interesting because I feel like from a very young age, Lena was always taught to like put her well-being or her, just how she was like moving through life yeah. with someone else, you
right,
know,
right.
or with some external kind of thing, like a sign or an right, omen right, or the right. paper or whatever.
Yeah, totally.
So no wonder she, you know, struggled so much kind of being her own person. And honestly, she got what they say you'll get from Halcyon. You know, she got her answers.
She did.
And she like really
ironically,
did get what she needed.
She did. I mean, she almost died, but you know.
Yeah. And I mean,
it's okay. You know,
I know.
Whatever.
Do you think, oh, wait. Okay, we skipped this question, too, and I need to know. How do you think Jillian would feel about Coral and what she did?
Oh, she'd probably be thrilled, I feel like.
So Coral was like, not off. She read this correctly.
No, like, I think okay. Coral read it correctly. I think she'd be, like, so pleased that somebody... like yeah. was fighting in her honor,
right?
You
know? I mean, you're right.
That sounds right. To
it
me.
Would totally like be on her social media if she yes. could put it on. Like,
and that is she's yeah. like that's her idea of justice. So.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like they could be friends. Yes. You know, like mother daughter. Like so they would have worked.
Do you think Jillian's actually dead? Can you answer?
Oh,
that?
You know, I don't. I probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. I feel like I went back and forth.
I kind of like
whether
that it was like,
well, I love
was
the idea
not,
that it was like, is she
where
gonna
did
be here?
Come from?
Yes.
Yeah. Like,
and was it Matilda? Yeah. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. It's interesting.
It's really interesting.
But if it was,
I think it was probably Matilda. Like, I like yeah, having okay. that question.
Yeah.
I feel like mm-hmm. I always sort of do that, but, I feel like Jillian would be really like, she wants her friend, she wants Lena, but right. really I think Lena is also sort of dead to her.
Yeah,
so that's,
yeah.
if somebody is stepping in, it's her daughter, like right. it's just like,
I know, because that's, I'm like, I don't know that Jillian would shoot
no
her daughter would, because Coral's doing you know what
yeah.
Jillian would want.
Yeah,
unless, no, I'm just getting hypothetical, but unless Jillian was like, oh, this is how I save the day,
this is how I save
and
the,
get
right.
them all back.
Well,
you know,
you know, I went back and forth.
Yeah,
and I think you could argue for both.
Yeah.
You could argue for both.
It's there. Yeah. I mean, there's such interesting characters. You seriously can like go mm-hmm. so many ways with them. And that's something that's across like all of your books. But anyway, okay, let's talk about the fan questions.
Another one was, why do you think Mrs. Rosen decided to corroborate Sadie's story?
This
oh.
drove me nuts. I need to know. I thought there, you know, are you a Harry Potter fan?
Yes, but not with like the minor details.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's like, I think it's like the fifth one or something, but it turns out there's someone who's living on Privet Drive that is, I think, a squib maybe.
Oh, right. Okay. That's how it opens, right?
The, yeah. Like, and court. She ends up like, you know, she's looking out for Harry the
yeah.
whole time and he never knew. And I kind of, in my mind, that's like what Mrs. Rosen
oh.
was with Sadie, because I'm like, why else would she say, yeah, I saw her?
I just kind of thought she, well, first of all, I thought she was maybe a little bit confused.
Okay.
But I think Sadie was also always really kind to her.
Yeah.
And I think it was just like, if you need me to say you're there,
right.
then I am.
Well,
there.
She's about to die.
Yeah.
So it's like,
yeah. and
who cares?
And they always like played cards.
Yeah.
And like or Scrabble. I think they played Scrabble,
yeah.
right? She spent time with, I think it was one of those kind of like, this is my last, you know.
Right. A little like,
I'm protecting you.
I loved that, mm-hmm. honestly. I wrote in the Reddit discussion, I was like, I gotta know what's going on. And everyone was like, no, I'm also like, Mrs. Rosen was so interesting because Sadie was like, but it is true. And Sadie is leading with empathy, and that's listed as one of her main qualities. Like, it's gonna, you know,
it saves her.
It ends up saving. Absolutely. Yeah. And I like that.
So be kind. You never know.
The lesson of Nowhere Like Home is just be kind.
Yeah. Be kind. You never, especially in your work, right? You know, like exactly. You never know when someone is going to vouch for you when you actually are out there murdering somebody.
And that is so true.
We see that. Always said that.
We have always said right? that.
That's the takeaway.
That's a big sister. We always say that. If they were going to make a movie out of this book or a show, do you have any, like, when you're writing characters, do you picture them as any people that you know?
Or? I picture them more probably as people that, like, I know.
Yeah. Yeah,
not people that, like, are in other movies.
Right.
So, oh my God, I am not a casting person.
Yeah.
I just imagine, like, blah, 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 sister from when I was in seventh grade.
Right.
Like that's, Rhiannon reminds me of somebody's sister.
I love that.
Older sister. Lena reminds me of like, again, somebody from high school.
Yeah. I see Lena as like an Alexis Bledel type. Like
I could see that.
Kind of like.
Yeah, I could see that.
And
yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. And then.
That's a good one.
I guess.
Rhiannon, I always pictured the girl who played Daisy Jones and Daisy Jones and the Six.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah,
Elvis Presley's hair, like granddaughter like. Or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think it is the hair for
one
sure.
One of those girls that's like, or even, I mean, I don't think Blake Lively, but like that
someone
sort
whose
of Serena
little,
Vanderwoodson, like.
Hair's a little messy.
The hair's a little messy.
But looks perfect.
And they're just like, you just sort of like, oh, I want to be.
Yeah, like just have like to have sexy, that, but like yeah. not.
Not like over, not like trying too hard.
No,
like
not
Blake Lively
too hard.
Can just roll out of bed and look so amazing.
Right.
And
right.
You know,
definitely
everything
not Blair.
Seems effortless.
Yeah.
And yeah. So that's interesting. It's I mean literally can't see Marjorie as anything other than Mother God.
That's so funny. Yeah, I had a vision of Marjorie. I don't know where. I just had a
your description of her was really
who
I could
did
like
I
totally
base her on. Yeah, like cuz I had an idea. I'm like, did I know a Marjorie? I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just had a very clear idea of her. And then some of the others, like Coral, I had a clear idea of her. Like,
yeah.
Jillian, who did I think Jillian was? Again, just like people that I know.
Right.
I more think of people. It's funny because I'm writing another book now and like, there are so many people from that I used.
Oh my God.
Like thin
that's so
versions
funny.
Of like. it's so funny that I'm like, oh, I know, I can totally picture this person because I knew him when I was 22.
Oh
like,
my God.
Yeah. So that's what I usually do.
Right.
For Pretty Little Liars, that's what I did too.
Oh, wow. I love that. That's so neat.
Yeah. I don't usually picture actors.
Like, I know.
Yeah.
It's interesting because when I pick, like, every time I'm reading, I always have like a picture, but I can usually just see, like, I don't see a face.
I don't see the face.
I sort of see, like, our podcast, like, picture where it's not a face but like the hair and the whatever, like I can see that, but it'd be so interesting to see how, you know, that casting process
that would
be
like
cool.
A talent, like people that do
it's
it's tough.
Okay,
well, do you have any final words for this discussion of this book? I know we are kind of all over the place. That's
no, I just loved your in-depth think, like your thoughts are so, it's fun because I haven't talked about this book in a little while, so it's fun to go back to it.
Right.
And I love kind of the analysis that we like. It's like fun to like get deep
it
into.
It is. And
you
it
know,
was,
I, that's really, I really appreciate it.
Yeah. My God. Well, good. It was really fun. I felt like I got to go back to like my
your English
roots
major.
As I'm like writing the questions.
Yes.
I was like, what would my English
school.
Professor have said?
Totally.
It's, you know, it becomes
that.
Like you can't read a book without kind
it's
of.
It's like the first time I felt prepared for like an English class. Like
I love this.
It's like middle
it
school.
It is actually that feeling. What a high. When you go to English and you do the reading.
Oh my God,
like,
right?
And you have ideas and you're like, I'm ready for the session.
So,
I'm ready for
so
the quiz.
Ready to talk about this character.
Oh my gosh.
I have,
My sophomore year, it was Brit Lit and I had Mr. Cavo and I didn't read a single book except we read Macbeth together in class.
So suddenly you have so much
and
to
I
say.
And I loved Macbeth.
Yeah, Macbeth is
and
great.
I got him like a really nice copy of Macbeth.
Aww.
And I wrote him like a note.
That's
in
so
the
cool.
Only book cover. And in like the, I watched him read it and in like the middle of it I wrote, I'm sure you know, but this is the only book that I read this whole year. And he looked up the room. We were all like signing yearbooks and stuff and he goes, Phoebe, I did know that. Thank you.
I know. It's always funny. We think like, okay, I read.
They'll never know.
Oh my God. So funny. But The Awakening was the one for me.
I
like
love
I went
book.
In and I was,
I think I
you were ready to fight someone.
Defending Edna Pontellier, probably. I think I was. And everyone in the room, like, hated her. And I was like, I had her back a little bit. But now I don't know if I'd feel that way reading it. Okay, we're going to go in a little bit of Pretty Little Liars.
Okay.
We have to.
Of course.
So was a Pretty Little Liars movie ever discussed?
I think Marlene has mentioned it mm-hmm. with the original cast.
Yeah.
I would love that. Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
Right.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
I feel like, I mean, it would be so
where
cool.
Where are they now?
But even yeah. then, like, if it was like, you know, if people are thinking TV series or movie for that, it just lent itself so perfectly to
so series. Much to go off
like
of.
It just it really
but I feel like Sex and the City did yes, the did the series did. And then no, they did true. The movies and then they came back to the series, which I loved
it
all of that
really
so
neat. And they kind of dabbled in the new Pretty Little Liars mm-hmm. they kind of dabbled in like we have Dr. Sullivan and they mention Aria and
they
Ezra
do.
I
they
thought
do.
It was wild when Imogen goes that creep Ezra which is,
I love that
I loved it too
finally
I love
it's
that
it's so interesting
your
people
book,
got mad
not, I know
people got mad
people get mad at us all the time because we're kind of hard on the Ezra relationship.
I don't like it either.
Well, like duh we're hard on it. It's so
it was so hard because Ian Harding and Lucy Hale had such great chemistry that like they just were the couple until we got Hannah and Caleb. It was just like
right
I mean being a teenage girl and watching
I know
them together it was like oh my gosh
I can't believe but Lucas and Hannah dated in the books.
I know
Lucas is my nemesis a little bit but only because I don't
soft
like
spot
him.
For
he's
Lucas
not, he didn't do anything to
he's
me, really.
Not quite as creepy in the books. I feel like he's so creepy in the show
and it is
oh my god
yeah he gives me the ick in a major way.
He's so like there's something just like
it's a little like
just get away
but him and Hannah like the way that they just like
Phoebe
look
loves
out
them.
For each other.
Yeah.
I just love that.
Yes,
Phoebe loves
sweet.
An unlikely friendship. She also loves an enemies to lovers kind of story. Like these are Phoebe's favorite tropes. She loves them.
Well, in the books, Arya dates Noel, which
yes.
is also
yeah, that would have
like,
been
different.
Well, I'm like,
what a beautiful couple.
When
that would
she almost
been.
Dates him in the in
when
the
they
show,
sing together,
and she has such a little freaking bad attitude. They're like getting dinner. I'm like, just live in the moment, girlie.
I know.
And you might
I know.
Find you really like him, and then we can dump this weird guy.
I know. Because in the first book, she. Is like, ugh.
Yeah.
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 She's like, you play lacrosse.
I'm into artsy guys.
I'm into like this guy at the bar.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God. I remember standing in that room. They just redid this and it used to look like that, but there was a TV there. Standing there, dad was grilling on the deck and it was like the night before high school, I think, started my freshman year.
It was perfect.
And
timing.
Or maybe it was the first day because
it was like
Monday,
Labor Day weekend.
Right? Or something. Yeah. And it premiered and I'm watching and that's the first scene with Arya looking in the mirror in her little dress. And then she goes into the bar and she asks for a cheeseburger and
was
then she's a vegan.
Was she a vegetarian or a vegan in your books?
I think she was a vegetarian.
Right.
Yeah. I think so.
We always make fun of her.
We always make fun of her.
Because
the first book, she's like, can I get a cheeseburger?
Oh, that's funny.
And then later she's like,
chicken, oh my gosh.
I think her whole family.
Well, then they make chicken. Oh my gosh! Is
maybe
it's
vegan
chicken.
Oh, chicken!
In the
oh
show,
my gosh! Right, right, right.
But they
yes.
do. It is shocking that any of them would eat meat. They seem like a very
I think they were more hippie.
Yeah.
In the books.
Very. I mean, even just them, because I don't think it's in the show, but in the books, she calls them by their first names, right? Which is all.
Wait, she doesn't in the show?
No.
How did I miss that?
I'm pretty sure she calls them mom and
dad.
We
would have clocked
we
it.
Would have also, because so our parents are
Byron
pretty
and Ella.
Our parents were pretty strict and that never would have flown.
Oh my gosh.
Us. Like, oh my
even
God.
Now when parents are like, call me.
Call me. I'm like, oh,
I'm like, no, that's all
right.
My
dad's in the room. It has to be Mrs. Whatever. But it's so funny. So we absolutely would have clocked. We would have been like, Arya, no way. But yeah, she calls. At least now she's calling them mom and dad.
Okay. No, she probably always did. That's funny that I didn't even really notice that.
But it's such a telling detail about her.
Yes.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
about their family.
The way that, I mean, in the pilot, when Pam is talking about the Montgomery family and she's like, well, they let her run around with the pink streaks.
Oh my God, I was like, I feel like I've heard that conversation.
Yeah.
And like, you know, the pink streaks in her hair.
Oh yeah.
And their equals, like all this, it's
so
funny.
But we did, I do. Love Arya.
So the first book came out in 2006.
Uh-huh.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And then the show didn't start filming until like 2009. So like, what was that 3-year period? What were was it taking off in a way where you saw it going in this direction of like they were going to pick it up for a TV show?
Or was it like that came? Cause sometimes they'll be like,
was a total surprise.
Wow.
But like in that 3 years, there was definitely a fan base. It was really fun. Yeah. Mm-hmm. People would make YouTube videos of the like reenactments from the book and that the song that's the one that's in the beginning. People used that YouTube videos before.
Oh my God, wait, that's crazy.
Yeah, before it became the song of the show.
Yeah.
So I remember them saying to me, like the producers or something, like, we're going to use that song that they use in the YouTube videos. But it was so funny. Like people would use puppets and like.
Oh my God.
Oh my gosh.
And then MySpace was the thing that was popular.
Yes.
And it was fun. Like I did a lot of like sneak peeks of like book two and book three on MySpace. And so like, there were definitely a lot of readers. It was really fun.
Mm-hmm.
But never, I'm trying to think, did I, ironically, like, I don't know if I went on a single book tour for Pretty Little Liars from books 1 through 7.
That's amazing.
Which is bizarre because they were doing well. So well. I don't understand. it's fine, but it's like I didn't have kids at the time. I could have done it.
Mm.
I would have really liked to do it. And I don't know.
Yeah. That's so interesting.
But then when in 2009, when I got a call that like, oh, so there's a pilot script and ABC Family wants to do it and they're starting to cast. I was like, what? I didn't even know. I knew that there were. I knew it had been optioned and I knew that like some scripts were floating around and like a couple different writers took a crack at it, but I didn't know Marlene, like I didn't know who that was.
Right.
I didn't know she was writing anything. I had no, I was not involved at all.
I would feel like they would have to like.
I mean, I guess I could have asked. Yeah. I just like didn't think anything was happening.
Right.
So I was
right.
just like, whatever. So I was very, very surprised. I also feel like it was such a different time. Like you didn't write a book in hopes that like Netflix would make a thing.
Right, that's
like
so
that's
true.
Not how.
Yeah. Well, we love Gillian Flynn.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it's interesting because like.
The difference.
My least favorite of her books is Gone Girl. And I love like what, Sharp Objects.
Dark Places.
Like, they're so
good.
They're messed up and twisty. Yeah. Like,
but Gone Girl felt.
But we were like, oh, this feels like it was written to be a movie.
I love the movie.
Yeah, but it's not like her other writing.
Yeah, I agree.
So it's interesting. I feel like nowadays, too, I bet there are talks before, you know, like before you even start writing the book where they're like, well, we kind of want this to, this is the path we'd like for this to go. Like, are those conversations that happen or?
I mean, I think like. I think sometimes, but I think not all the time.
Yeah.
I think you could also just be like, this is the thing that I want to write.
Right,
I don't know. Like, will it ever become something I don't care?
Well, and for you, now you can write probably anything you want and people will like
clamor for it.
Well, let's hope. I mean, will it become a show? I don't know.
Yeah.
But like at least, and that's the thing. I think I've tried to write, with like a TV show in mind of like, this is the thing that's popular right now and I should do this. And it's never worked.
That makes sense.
It's never like, I've abandoned manuscripts because I'm like, it should sound like Gillian Flynn or it should sound like, and then I read it and I'm like, I don't know where this book is going to go.
Right.
Like, I don't even like it.
Yeah.
So,
that's
you know,
so interesting.
So that can work and then it cannot work.
Yeah.
Right.
It doesn't work for me usually.
So once the show, once it was clear that it was going to be picked up, et cetera.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy that process or was it, because I can imagine it would be tough if you, you know, obviously when you're writing that many.
Like even with like the Ezra, like the just
books. Yeah, like the different arcs and plot points.
How quickly did you know that Ezra was going to stay in?
Oh, the show?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And like immediately. but it didn't matter because I was on like book 8.
Mm-hmm.
Ezra was long gone.
Yeah.
Ezra was, so it was fine. Now, we renewed And I wrote more books after that. And Ezra did come back.
Oh, okay.
Because I was like, he needs to come back. Okay. And he was like, had this like last ditch attempt to win Arya back. And it didn't work.
What a creep.
It was so creepy. So like, I never,
right.
I never, sorry to disappoint, but I was not.
I'm so glad it didn't work when he came back.
No, I'm so glad. And I don't know. Like, I was okay with them on the show, but I was also like, oh.
Yeah, it's like, I get it. And sort of as we're watching it too, like in 2024, I don't know if that storyline.
I don't know if the storyline would
even
happen.
Even in the original Sin, you see like the older guys kind of say whatever, but the girls aren't.
The girls
into
are like creep. And it's cool. Like they seem to have a little bit more, like they've learned from the girls before them. Yeah. Like, but it's sometimes we'll get people who are writing to us like, I can't believe you're so mean about Ezria. Like, he loves her. Like, he didn't even do anything that bad. Well, and I want to be like, hey, I need you to love yourself. Like, I need you to know
this is
not
wrong.
Normal. Like, because it's like, but I remember, but so you kind of have to sign on though when you're watching it. Because if you don't, like, you're stuck with them.
Right. You're just
if you're not
hate
rooting for them
things,
at all, which I'm not.
I was really excited though, the plot line of him being A.
Yes.
I was like, yes.
Oh my gosh. Oh my God. That was a day in history
in
my life.
Spencer Troyan said, where's my Emmy? Were they ever nominated for any Emmys? Was the show ever? I know shows like that like aren't always, but I think she's like such an insane actor.
Yeah, she's great.
Especially when it clicks for her, what's going on.
Yeah.
And none of the girls.
Oh my God. Well,
we really see Arya's true colors in that whole storyline. Yes.
Do you, okay, so you're on TikTok. I don't know if you've seen, we had her on our show a while ago, but her username is like Demi DeVito, but her name is Megan.
Oh, I love her.
Yes. And she makes, God, she's so funny. She has nailed like the
isms.
She's
so funny.
She is so funny. And she just did one that's like Spencer off of one Adderall. And it's like, she's got eyeliner everywhere. And she's like, oh, I swear. Like he's like, and everyone's like, Spencer, you need to chill. She's like, no. And it's just, it is so hilarious.
I think I reacted to one of hers where she, oh my God, I don't remember what it was. She's so funny.
She nails it all.
She does. She's
and
so
you don't even, she doesn't have to say anybody's names. You're like, okay, well,
you know
that's
exactly
obviously
who she is. Like, yes. And the just the different, like, and the delivery. And her writing, too. You know, she's like writing these scenes. And it's interesting because she's writing them in their voices totally. Like, I am like, oh, that
it's
Hannah
so,
would say that.
It's so funny.
It really
she's
is.
She's great.
She is so great.
Were there any storylines that you found it tough to let go of going into the show?
You mean storylines that
from
I...
The book from into the book? The show.
I mean, the thing I think that I was sad about, though I understand, like, they of course they're going to change things from the show or from the books of the show. They really changed Allison, and I loved the Allison of the books.
Yeah.
Okay.
Allison was like,
she's not
so
redeemable
evil
in the books, right? She's not redeemable. Yeah. I prefer that too.
Yes. I think it's Sasha Peters says she nails
the... She is so good at playing a mean girl.
Yeah.
I miss it. When she's being nice, I'm like,
I know. She just was such a good mean girl. I'm her backstory in the books like was so twisted and weird. And,
right. Because
like,
it's Courtney and like the twins. It's wild. And it's so interesting. When you're acting and like, so I'm like in theater. And so when you act, they're like, if you're playing the villain, which I often do, you can't believe that you're the villain. Like you have to, because they don't know. They have to believe that like they're serving justice in some kind of
way.
And so getting in the mindset, like when there's a script and you're playing a bad guy and being like, okay, how do I like make this something I believe in? Do you feel like you have to do that for your characters?
Yeah. I mean, definitely for a villain.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I write a lot of backstory stuff or like what's going on in the villain's mind.
Okay.
That just doesn't ever make it into the book. But that's why I wrote a whole... That's why I wrote a whole book about Allie of like, what is Allie's whole backstory? Because like, why would somebody be like
that? Right? No, literally.
Because it helps me to understand like why a person would... and for most, you know, for Nowhere Like Home, for any book that I write, it's kind of like, what makes a person like this?
Yes.
So it's the same. It's the same thing. And kind of convincing yourself of like, no, they think they're right.
Right.
In a certain way. Like,
and it's,
or they're
it's
doing
hard.
This out of fear. They're doing it out of insecurity or like whatever it is.
They have to feel justified in some way. Or like with Mona having dissociative identity disorder, you know, it's like,
yeah,
she... there's something driving these decisions that's
which is what made that reveal so good. Like when we get that episode where everything is like it clicks for Spencer and it clicks for the audience, it's just like, oh my God.
Yeah.
And you look back on like, I don't know, when she hit Hannah with her car, you're like, oh my God. That's crazy.
It is crazy to like look back at the craziest things A did once you know,
I know
who A is. Does Mona die in the books?
Yeah.
Okay.
And Caroline is currently she hasn't finished the show.
Yeah, I'm watching it.
Like, oh my gosh. Okay. Yeah.
So I watched a little in high school, but I never finished it. It's like Phoebe's comfort show. Pretty Little Liars. So I love it.
Mona just was murdered.
Mona just was murdered.
Oh.
And okay, I was not expecting it.
Caroline
and it
struggling.
Hit me hard. I love Mona as a character. I'm like, she is so good. And Janelle Parrish is also
I love her.
So good. And I love a villain. I do. Yeah. Like they're so
especially
interesting.
Especially a smart one.
But wait, keep in mind, like Mona is in The Perfectionists. Okay. So
I said, okay, here's what happened. Ready for this? We watch it and I'm like, yeah, whatever. Because they show us her body and I'm like, we see bodies all the time. Like they're never dead.
Never,
you know?
You never know.
So I'm like, whatever. And then I'm talking to Phoebe and I'm like, yeah. And then like Mona's like fake murder. And it's so weird that and Phoebe's like, Mona's murdered. And I'm like, no, she's not. Like, I'm like, I know she's alive. And Phoebe's like, I was like, I've seen pictures of her in outfits I haven't seen yet. Like, I know. And she's alive. And Phoebe's like, I mean, there are flashbacks. I'm like, wait, what? Like, I was shocked by this death. It rocked me to my core. I was bummed about it too, because I just love her. But I was like really shocked by it. And I kept being like, you're lying. You're just trying to throw me off. Are you? Admit it.
No, I'm telling the truth.
Phoebe goes, there might be spoilers in this conversation with Sarah. I was like, that's okay. But
I guess we'll find out.
I guess we'll find
what
out.
What time?
Season five. I'm trying to think that when that came out.
We just got that Christmas episode.
Oh, God. Christmas episode.
That's the one we just watched.
Where Mona is.
Mona does come back.
She
looks like
Christmas
a monster high doll. Yeah.
They got. I mean, I guess you have 26 episodes per season.
They had
like,
to go somewhere.
Yeah.
The Halloween. Yep. They're always so fun. And I do love that they were able to get kind of campy.
Yes.
And like the books are sort of like that too.
I mean, you have to lean into, because if it takes itself too seriously, you lose
then
people.
Then it's like, not as, and I feel like a lot of the YA book to TV show kind of have like been a little too serious, especially like the thriller version. Like
Well, and it's like, especially for young adults.
Yeah.
We're all teens here. Nothing that's happening.
Right.
Unless you are Arya, Hannah.
Right.
Or Spencer and
really
Emily.
Terrible things
yeah,
are
they actually
right.
are
you.
Seriously going through some stuff. Do you have the same favorite character from the book and the show?
No. I'm trying to think who my favorite character in the show. I love Mona. Mona is one of my favorite characters. God. Because Mona almost feels like Allie in the books. I mean,
okay,
I know Mona.
Yeah.
Mona is like an ally sometimes, but like
she's a frenemy.
She's a frenemy, and she's like really smart. And I didn't get enough of Mona. I mean, there were 4 books of Mona, I guess, in the books, where she's doing a lot of fun stuff behind the scenes, and she is that character. So I always really liked her in the books too. Always really liked Allison in the books. I mean, I love the four girls, but like, who else? I also really love what they did with Hannah in the show.
Yeah. I think Ashley Benson and it's funny because watching it in high school, I think I was a Hannah in high school, but I wanted to be an Arya.
Okay.
And you know, everyone wanted to be Arya.
Right.
But, I was a Hannah. Now I'm probably more of a Spencer, but I still am
like a hybrid.
If someone would have told me I was a Hannah, I don't know if I would have taken it as a compliment.
Right.
Now I'm like, that would have.
She's such
the best
a good
friend out of those girls, I think. Like she's the most loyal.
Yeah.
She's definitely like looking out for people. She's the least selfish, I think. Like, I don't know if it's because she's got her little like, you know, hefty Hannah storyline and that has given her empathy in a way that the other characters don't have it. Because I do think that's a very...
She was always a little bit of, like, the underdog.
Yeah,
in the group. She
was
always
totally.
Sort of
and they all kind of, like,
pick on her.
Like, Arya, a recent episode just, like, went off on Hannah. And I was
when...
we're going to throw down Arya.
That storyline where Arya's mom is getting engaged to Zach,
the
barista, and he kisses Hannah.
Yeah.
And Hannah's, or like hits on her or something. And Hannah's like, I feel so guilty.
Torn up.
Yeah. And she's like, I have to go tell Aria. And she tells Aria. And Aria just lays into her.
You're so stupid. Everything is your fault. Like, oh, I was like, stop.
Yeah. I can't believe they were friends after that.
It's because of Hannah. It's because of Hannah. Aria just thinks that she can apologize and it will be okay because it will be.
Because
Hannah's like, well. It's
loves her. I just absolutely love what, and I think it's so subtle too, like what Ashley Benson is doing, because her lines, she has some like serious moments with some real depth, but a lot of her lines are kind of meant to be stupid or silly or campy.
Right.
And the way she delivers them, it's like, it's not on the nose. It's like, I really just genuinely believe that Hannah is and it's so subtle that I feel like a lot of people don't pick up, but it's like,
I love her.
Ashley Benson was the perfect
choice
for that. Hannah. And I love Hannah and Caleb. I know that he's not in the books. Do you have a favorite relationship out of the girls?
Probably them.
Oh, yeah. I love that. You and I are so in sync.
Yeah. No, I loved them. I liked him a lot.
Yes.
I was like, oh, I'm sad he was never in the books.
They're sweet.
Yeah. I think they work together.
Me too.
Yeah.
And so he just loves her.
I know.
Yeah.
Like so much.
We just in this recent episode, he like gets in the car and there's a piece of paper with like Oberlin, Harvard, Stanford, like all these colleges. And he's like, Hannah, what is this? She's like, just some colleges. And he's like, for who? She's like, well, I took that CAT thing and the guidance counselor brought me in because she thought I cheated. Apparently I did really good. And then he's
and
he's literally like, okay.
He doesn't make fun of her.
Think, Hannah, you're not going, you know, which is like what other people would do. He's just like all he buys it. And I just love that. I love that so much.
That's so cute.
Okay. Aww. Sorry, Phoebe. I keep taking, we tried to like highlight, but who would ask what?
When we do you want to go into a game maybe? So we have seven characters and we would love it if you would pick a corresponding one of the seven deadly sins.
But you can use the same one if you have to, like if they're two similar.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
So Aria.
You have to tell me the seven deadly sins. Okay. Give me a list. Give me a list of the sins. So I have to give. Okay. So Aria was the first one?
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, maybe lust.
Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds about right. And then do you have the, you can just read the list.
Okay. Allison.
Oh, wrath? I'm thinking of Allison.
Yeah. I feel like wrath or even like pride maybe in the show.
Pride.
But like totally wrath. I love that. Okay. Hannah.
Sort of, again, I'm thinking of like book Hannah.
Yeah.
Envy?
She's the most redeemable one. Spencer.
I also see Spencer sort of as like pride, greed maybe. She's so competitive.
Yes, that's so true.
I don't see anybody as gluttony.
I know
that's a tough
really
one.
Either.
We're
honestly sloth. I don't really
know. They're all go-getters.
They have 30 hours in their days.
I'm thinking about even Emily.
I know,
she's like so
good. She is so good. She's really finding herself right now on the show, of finding her voice, and I am loving it.
I don't know if Emily has any deadly sins.
No, I don't think so either.
And she's like, in the book, she has a crazy journey. She
goes to
Iowa. And then she fakes killing herself, right? And she ends up being the person to like
save the day.
Yeah.
Well, Emily's, you know, Achilles heel in the books is definitely Allison.
Yes. Yes.
And that's, I mean, maybe that is sort of his lust of like Allison is that friend.
Yes.
She is, but she loves her. She who can manipulate her into doing whatever she wants because it's like, we will be a couple someday.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and Emily's
I'll just
dangle this and like Emily will do whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess maybe hers is
lust.
Yeah.
We had some, book club readers saying that they felt like, Lena and Rhiannon were like the early stages of Emily and Allison just with like this unequal footing.
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, and that's always, you know, there's a reason I guess I created that friendship and still, you know, explore that.
Well,
it's so
interesting. I feel like it's a relationship a lot of people can relate to because sometimes when you do get in a friendship, I think too, it's like, you know, do I love you? Am I in love with you? Yeah. Like, and I, some people had that question about Jillian and Sadie too. Yeah. Like, was Jillian in love with Sadie? And
right.
That could right. be, you know, right. it's like sometimes when the feelings yeah. are too big mm-hmm. or emotional, yeah. It can be confusing.
Right.
Okay. Mona.
What is Mona? Mona. Oh my gosh. I don't know. Like,
she's like all
yeah, she like envy.
What wrath. Is like holding a grudge? Yeah, like what would
yeah,
that?
Yeah, what is like, holding a grudge? Rough. Like, yeah,
it's that
vengeful.
Yeah, whatever yeah. the one that one is. Yeah. yes. Okay, yeah. And last is Jenna, but I know she's super different in the books.
She's super different in the book. So in the book, she's
not a bad guy, right?
No, she's not a bad guy. She's like kind of a victim.
Mm.
I don't know what she would be, honestly.
Yeah. I feel like in the show maybe she's like pride.
Yeah.
Because there's a little bit that. Of like mm-hmm. I mean, everything that her character has done in the show,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, how can you even be walking around these halls?
Yeah, no, you know? I could see that. She's way sneakier in the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's more just like a almost like a symbol in yeah. the books.
Okay, know? Cool. Like,
of the things that they've done wrong.
yes. Like yeah. a harbinger.
Well, definitely. That would yeah. be quite the reminder.
It sure yeah. would. It
hey,
sure
look,
would.
There's that girl we accidentally.
Yeah. I love yeah. their, Jenna can't hear us. She's blind.
I love Hannah's that. Blind. That's the best. That's the best line.
It's and it's those so lines where she delivers them just so earnestly. That
yeah,
it's
like you're like,
so,
oh.
so good.
it's yeah. so sweet. Okay. We're now going to do a little thing. We're going to give you a few plot lines. Tell okay. us if you think they happen in the book or the show.
Okay.
I know you wrote the books a long time ago, so I'm yeah. hoping your memory is not going to be so
my
great.
My memory will not be so good.
But if it is, you know, that's okay.
Okay.
Go ahead, Fee.
I love right. this.
Melissa and Wilden get engaged.
Oh my God, I don't remember.
yes!
is this in the books?
Yes! Okay. Yes. It's yeah. books. Oh, but she yes. almost said show.
Okay.
This is great. All right.
I just couldn't see her dating him in the show.
Yeah, oh, no. He's like so like, skeezy. Does he sleep with Ashley in the yes. book?
Yes. Both. Yeah.
He's so yucky. And yes. we love Ashley Marin, too, is our favorite mom.
She's yes, the best great. Mom. Oh,
she's,
my gosh.
I think, a really good mom.
Yeah.
she might be one of...
She really is.
Yeah. I mean, we like Pam now, but it took a second.
Yeah. Pam came around eventually.
Yeah, okay. I don't like her in the books at all. She's not good.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
She's very judgmental.
Yeah.
Like,
well, that sounds tries, like season one like, Pam for very, sure.
Yeah.
It was a tough watch there for a little.
We're like, yeah, that's very much like how she's
yeah.
in the books.
Yeah. Mm. But that's, I mean, especially... And I mean, especially in a town like this, I feel like that is... I mean, when we watched the pilot, too, we're there like, was some line that was like... people care about appearances here or something. And Emily goes, some people aren't trying to make it in Rosewood. Some people are trying to make it out with their Canadian accent. but it she was like, very, that's so like here. Me in high school coming home.
Sure.
Like, I'm getting out of the bubble. And then
yeah,
here we
absolutely.
Are. But definitely a similar kind of vibe.
Yeah.
All right. A fills Ella's car with bees.
I think that's the show.
Yes,
okay.
that's the show.
I was going to say, I'm like,
that was
not
crazy.
True.
That
was
wild.
Yeah.
Their brain in the writer's room with some of these A
some of the A things are
oh my
so
God.
Dark.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that dollhouse, I loved that dollhouse.
Okay. I haven't gotten
seen
there
it
yet.
I'm so
oh, sorry.
Excited.
No, I know it's coming.
She knows about it.
So good.
Everyone's like, I can't wait for the dollhouse. Well, it's funny because someone
it was
commented,
my favorite.
Oh,
yes.
They were
so
like,
good.
We're getting to the episodes and like Caroline hasn't seen them and we can't wait to hear
so good.
What she's going to think.
Oh, my God.
All right. Another one. A puts... he plays dentist and puts a note in Hannah's tooth. if you can
that
even believe
like
it.
Show.
She's like, I feel like I would remember if I wrote something yeah, as unhinged yeah. as
can
that.
Can you think yeah. of anything scarier?
No.
I mean,
in her tooth.
Yeah, she like goes to get a filling.
I remember that.
And Spencer
pulling it out of her tooth. Yes. Like, Spencer, a little too close for
no,
comfort.
No, I would remember writing that. I'd be like, oh, yeah. my God.
Oh, my God.
Spencer has to do oral
exams
now.
It's so funny, though, because I've seen every single episode, and I cannot remember that.
Well definitely. Phoebe's seen them 800
and
times,
like,
and I will ask her questions, and she can't remember. Like, there's yeah. just so much
there's
happens.
There's so many
And they pack
things.
So much into
they do.
The...
It's you have to really carefully watch.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you miss
right.
a lot.
100%. All right. Hannah gets cast in a movie about Allie and the events of their lives.
That's the books.
Yes. Yeah. I would love to see
yeah.
that.
I know. I
Go
that
Hannah.
Her.
The last
one. I don't
think
it works out for her, though.
We have two more.
Well, we already talked about Emily.
Yeah.
Okay, Emily, what
Mona
was it?
Mona kisses Emily to make Allie jealous.
Does that happen in the books?
It's a trick question.
Does it never
happen?
It
doesn't
happen
in either.
It doesn't happen in either.
But it's believable.
Like, it totally believable. Because I do those things on TikTok where I'm like,
where I'm like,
these are some plot lines. And I really just kind of make them up on the fly. But like,
you gotta.
Yeah, but I like that one. Mona kisses Emily to make Allie jealous.
Yeah, I could so see it.
Definitely. Because Mona has a little bit of that, like, is it envy or is it love? What is this obsession with Allison?
Right. Although that would be hard in the books because, well, Allie does come back. When they are, you know, in present day.
Right.
So, okay, it could have happened.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it could have happened.
That would be.
Yeah, that would, I could so see that.
I would have loved it, except Don't Mess With Emily, but I still would have
Don't Mess With Emily.
It's just good.
Mess With Allie all you want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even though Emerson was my favorite.
Yeah.
As yeah, kid. I mean, I like, they're a great
couple.
Where
they get there.
Well, I haven't gotten there yet. Right now, I'm like writing Allie off.
We're at the point where it's like they almost.
Yeah.
We're going to take them there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Allie starts being
terrible again.
That's my only thing that I do like about Allie in the show. I mean, I she's great, but like I do like the Emerson that they got to kind of explore
and
that.
See that
in Emily like redeems her a little bit.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And
and not
Allie needed someone like that
who believed
that she could be good.
Right.
Yeah.
Totally.
All right, we're going to finish up this episode with a couple of Pittsburgh questions.
We have to.
And some were sent in as well. And this one's really funny. Your grocery shopping,
uh-huh.
Trader Joe's, Whole Foods, Giant Eagle.
/ Market District. We'll give you that.
So which one do I like the best?
Yeah, like which would be your go-to grocery store? I know they all have their different things.
Mm-hmm. Probably Giant Eagle.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Love it.
That's like the one-stop shop.
I like a one-stop.
Because I love Trader Joe's, but if I want anything that's like not JoJo, mm-hmm. or whatever, then like.
Right. And like, I don't want to buy like toilet paper for like $15 for a roll because it's like
exactly
marked up and whatever. Actually, right. So near my house, we have the Fresh Market.
Oh,
so
you know, I always wonder when I drive, I'm like, who?
That me.
My husband's family loves it too.
Because it's so close to us. So I'm like, let's just go to the Fresh Market.
I do love that building too.
It's a cool building. Everything is that. Talk about like overpriced. Toilet paper.
I went there once.
Yes.
And we were.
But it's like everything's really good.
Yeah.
So that actually is my grocery store.
No, that's so fun. That's like actually a perfect like hybrid.
Mm-hmm. All of them.
And I also go to the Shop and Save.
Oh,
yeah. That's also near me.
Yeah. That's so funny. So, my in-laws live over in that area as well. Yeah. And then you go to Shop and Save
like,
and Fresh Market.
So it's sometimes, a combination of Shop and Save, Fresh Market.
Love it.
Giant Eagle, I hate the parking lot.
The parking lot is abysmal.
It's terrible.
It's so bad.
And all those turns, you can't turn. It's terrible.
No, there's like no good way to get in there.
No,
Trader
really
Joe's
not.
Also bad parking.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's
who
actually.
Thought to put a Trader Joe's
a
in the same area as
a Chick-fil-A. So bad.
I know.
So the dumbest idea in the history of
dumb ideas. I get so angry whenever.
Yes.
I don't go there very much, even though I love like every frozen item. Mm-hmm.
I know.
Joe's
it's
so,
so
good.
It is like this level of convenience, but to get there, you have to go through the most inconvenient.
Right. And they don't do delivery.
No,
they don't
yeah.
do like Instacart. Because right. then I probably would use them.
Would
more
use it more. Yeah,
they,
that's so true.
Instacart, probably because no Instacart person wants to go into that parking lot.
Yeah, I mean, literally.
That's a good point.
Well, I'm always shocked at Aldi's on Instacart because
I've shopped at Aldi's on Instacart.
They don't have bags.
Yeah. I know.
Like if I'm a shopper, I have to remember my quarter.
I know.
And
your quarter. It's
this.
So true. Yeah. I don't go to Aldi.
Yeah. The bags I've ordered from there. They'll bring like paper bags, but I'm like, who's paying for those? Cause I didn't pay for that.
I know. Yeah.
I know. I'm always wondering about that. Are you a Steelers fan?
Yes.
Yes.
Love it.
Yes.
Are you an all Pittsburgh sports fan or mostly just football?
We watch a lot of baseball.
Okay. Nice.
Yes.
We're going to the game tomorrow.
Yeah, we are.
Oh, fun.
Yeah,
we watch a lot of baseball. We've watched a lot of baseball this year and watch the Steelers. I don't really follow hockey. But no, Steelers and Pirates we will, yeah. We will watch.
I love
I'm excited for football season.
I love football season.
It's like the camaraderie of it. Totally. I think
football season is really fun. Yeah. I have a 10-year-old who like super into football.
Oh, that's so cute.
So
I love that.
That's fun.
I love the fall here and like
fall here is nice
with the Steelers and like Black and Gold Fridays. I live in Nashville now, but I miss that. They like have it a little bit, but so many people are moving from so many different places. There's not that same like it feels like a college town, but on like a bigger scale.
It is really fun.
I love it.
It is a blast. Anthony, my husband, is like, I mean, such a huge football fan, but especially the Steelers. And he's already like, all right, this many weeks until our first preseason game. He is so ready. He's in like 8 fantasy football leagues. And like, let's just make sure we know that this isn't your job.
right.
Your little fake fantasy league. It's so funny.
That's so cute.
I know.
I love that. The preseason game's like soon.
I know. It's very soon.
And we're going to have a good year, I think.
I hope.
We've got some good options.
I hope.
I'm excited.
So you'll watch from Nashville.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. That's fun.
I've tried to convert my friends, and they're not necessarily like in it for the football, but like I'll have people over.
It's fun.
And I'll have the game
on. That's what I like about it. I'm like, it's like something.
By the end of the season, they will be Steelers fans because those are the only games that they'll be watching.
By default.
Yeah. You need a team to root for.
We are like a football is on all day.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And whether you watch it or not.
It's like a comforting background. Yeah. So I like it.
I love it.
Yeah. I like just hearing it.
But the last one would question is, if someone were to come to Pittsburgh for the first time, what are the top 3 things you would recommend them to do to enjoy the city?
Ooh, that's fun. I would say go to a baseball game. I think that that park is so
great.
It's a great view of the city, and like I feel like it's what makes Pittsburgh so special is really the Pittsburgh culture and like. A lot of that is just rooted in sports. So I feel like you get a lot of that.
Yeah. It's just such a beautiful view. Mm-hmm. And like whatever. Well, it depends on if you have kids or not.
Right.
If you have kids, you could go to Kennywood.
Yes. Classic. Even if you don't.
No, we love Kennywood. I don't know. Like ride the incline.
I love the incline.
I love the incline. I'm trying to think of other fun things.
It's like your favorite restaurant. Do you have one?
Out in the city, where have we gone? Like, we've gone to like Eddie V's and stuff like that. Like, it's good, but I know there are better. I know that there are like more interesting. We have not been out in the city for a while.
Do you like Thai food? Mm-hmm. You should try Noodle Head.
Oh, it's so good.
It is like the
like
best.
East Liberty kind of.
Okay, yeah, that's fun.
It's cash only. It's pretty cheap. They don't take reservations, but it is like. The best food. If we go and my mom finds out that we went and didn't tell her, she's so mad.
We'll have to
bring me. Yeah,
right,
so you
we'll
should totally try
it. It's a cute little spot. Okay. And it's a cute area now. Yeah. Like
that's
that
fun.
Little stretch.
They got Millie's right next door.
Yeah, East Liberty's nice.
Yeah, it's cute.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
oh
my god!
Oh my gosh!
Thank
this
you
was a
so
dream.
Much
oh,
for doing
course.
This. This literally
this so fun.
Is a dream come true for us, and we're just like so excited to have gotten a chat with you. And it's so funny that. We're all here. It feels so serendipitous. I love it.
I know. No, this was awesome. This was so much. I have to say, like, I've done a lot of podcasts, and it's so nice being in person.
Oh,
it like, is so much easier.
It really is.
I don't know why. There's just something weird about Zoom, and then you see yourself, and then you're like, ugh.
There's a little bit of a lag,
there's
too,
a lag,
that we always are.
You can't see people's expression. Right. I don't know. There's just something.
It's tough.
It's a little more conversational. Yeah, this was awesome,
this
and we're
fun.
So excited for everybody to hear it. It's going to be amazing. All right, guys, we are going to sign off because we got to go make a TikTok. So everyone, make sure you go follow Sarah Shepherd. Tell them where they can find you. What do you want to plug? Anything and everything.
I am at Sarah Books on Twitter, if people still use that. I know it's not even called Twitter anymore. And then Sarah C. Shepherd on TikTok and on Instagram.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah. And if obviously you've all read Nowhere Like Home by now, but any upcoming books or anything you can talk about? You don't have to say it, but.
I have a new book actually coming out called Gaslight, which is it.
Ooh.
Yeah. Fun. The one about NXIVM, kind of.
Oh my God. Can't wait.
A little bit, very, very different than Nowhere Like Home, but like a little bit of a crossover, like a little bit of an overlap. It is coming out in September.
Wow.
So
exciting.
It is coming out very soon.
Book
well, yeah, you don't have to like keep reading me. That's okay. I mean, I would love it, but
it's fun.
If you would, I should have brought over copies. I can bring you guys some copies. Cause I have a couple of advanced reader copies.
It'll be so fun.
And I know that I co-wrote it with, it's based on a podcast that this writer put together a few years ago. And he is not a book writer. So found me and we kind of wrote it together. So it was an existing story.
Yeah.
That I kind of adapted into it. Yeah. But it's like, it was really fun. Oh, that, my God. That took a lot of research. That was,
I bet,
fascinating.
Like based on actual.
Pretty much next year.
Yeah.
That's going to be crazy. Oh my gosh.
It was really fun. That was really fun.
I'm excited.
So that is out actually sooner than I realized.
Wow. Oh my God. Well, that was so soon.
Yeah, really soon.
You are so busy. My God.
That's your third book this year, right?
No. What else did I write?
You had the...
Well, Penny. Yeah. I mean, right. Okay, so I write those.
You're like, okay, that counts.
Yeah, but that's like a totally different age group.
Well, right.
But yeah, this... But the thing is, like, it takes a long time for these books to, like...
Right.
You know.
Get to the point where they're
actually... So I'm like, it's not like I was actually writing them all last year.
Right. You've been working on it. So I'm like, well, I love it. It was so fun talking to you. This was just so easy and awesome. So thank you again.
Of course.
And Road Warriors, we will see you next week.
And splat.
That's Sarah and Wang.
We don't really know when we started doing that.
But we did.